Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. Hi, guys. Aren't these dancers wonderful tonight? And how about the choir back there? Awesome. I want to share with you a song now that comes from Hebrew tradition. It's a folk song, actually, but it's taken out of Psalm 133. It says, Hinei ma tov u'manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Behold, how good and how pleasant. It's easy for you to say. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, I think sisters is in there. You got to read between the lines. But it's there. I know it's there. When brothers dwell together in unity, the Lord says, for there I will command my blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. That's what we're after tonight, life. So let's go after some more life. Now don't start, guys, until I tell you, okay? Okay. Behold how good and a pleasant it is, brothers to dwell together. Not yet, boys, hold on just a second. In unity. Just have to get the video. Yes, just for your information, we are taping tonight. And I'm going to have to get one to see what I missed.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. There I am. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. How fast can I get around the auditorium and get back in position? It's the high priest. Share some songs now with you of going up to Zion and some songs of worship in the Holy of Holies. And the last song, the song of victory. These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. But we lift up our eyes tonight. From whence comes our help? Our help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we look to you tonight. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Father, tonight for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And Lord, we delight ourselves in you tonight. And we lift up our eyes. Our help comes from you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Says wait. Am I supposed to wait more? I can't wait. This is too good. I haven't seen any of this yet. I'm seeing it with you for the first time, so pardon me if I turn my back to you like this. Frankly, they're better looking. Hallelujah. Oh, man. There's a scripture in Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. It says, "There is no lack in Jacob, and there's no fear in all of Israel, for the shout of the king is in their camp." And tonight I'm hearing the shout of El Shaddai. How about you? Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful? The Word of God says that a child shall lead them. And they send the praisers out first. The dance and the music together. The anointing of the Lord. And we're just about to go into the holy place. Let's invite the weight of His glory to come in this place. Thank you.
To God, we enter to worship him only, only, only for his name is holy. We just thank the Lord. We're starting a little late today because we just got into that mindset of worship, and you know, you never can worship him enough. So Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come and sit at your table and feast on what you have already prepared for us. Lord, we ask you to speak to us and speak through us. We stand here empty, oh God, waiting to be filled by you. Lord, let your spirit have its way in our midst. We decrease that you might increase, Father. Let there be none of me but all of you. And as I speak, God, let the people hear your voice in the north, the south, the east, and the west. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Pastor Linda Washington over in Slidell, Louisiana. Oh, she's having some tests concerning her heart today. And Father, we already believe, oh God, that the results will be favorable. Lord, because you said you would grant her favor. Lord, we know that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth. And Father, we have placed all her concerns into your hands. And we stand in agreement with your word, excuse me, which says, if we call, you would answer, and that you would show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. Father, we believe in your word. Your word is dependable. It is trustworthy. Yes, your word is kind. Your word is full of grace and mercy. We thank you now for the healing. We thank you, O God, for the deliverance. And we thank you for the restoration. In Jesus' name, we pray. We thank God for those that are coming on the line. Thank God for the elder. We thank God for the deacon, the evangelist. We thank God for the prophet, the prophetess. Lord, we thank God for all those that are coming on. And we pray that this word would make a lot of sense to those who hear it and have a spiritual ear to hear. Today we're talking about Moses and about God and about the children of Israel. And I was going to go somewhere yesterday, last night, but the Lord says stay in the book of Exodus. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4. And we just finished talking about how God is sending Moses to, you know, he has commissioned Moses to go to Pharaoh. And Moses started with complaining and second-guessing God. And God told him that his brother Aaron was coming down the road. He's on the way to meet him and that he was going to put the words in Aaron's mouth and Aaron would be his spokesman. So here God is going to harden the heart of Pharaoh because God does not do things easy. Because people, if God does things easy, people will not believe that he's God. He does things in a supernatural way that you know no man, there's not any man on earth or anywhere else that can do what he does. What he does is supernatural. You know, the scientists try to conjure up stuff, but they realize they can't do what God can do. You know, because he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He is the sovereign God, the mighty God. Hallelujah, glory to God. So here in this book, chapter 4, we did 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4, Moses is questioning God again. God told him the last part of chapter 3, he said, but every woman shall borrow from her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptian. In other words, you should take stuff from the Egyptians. And God said this to Moses to tell to the children of Israel. And Moses come back with a conjunction. And he began to speak to God again. He said, and Moses answered and said, he's talking to God, but behold, they will not believe in the children of Israel, he's talking about, nor hearken or listen unto me, to my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Hallelujah. Moses is talking to God and saying that the children, he's already guesstimating what the children of Israel, how they're going to respond to him. He asked God a question. God said to Moses, then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. God told him, throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Moses don't understand that God, he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. When God is working with you, all you have to do is follow the instructions. This is what the message is about today. When God calls you out of darkness, all you have to do is walk in the light. The word today, the topic today is Yahweh. Yahweh's word is sufficient. God's word is sufficient. It's more than enough for you and I. All we have to do is believe it, receive it, and it will be settled. That's all we have to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yesterday, after I get off the line, I start getting this pain in the back of my head, in the left side of the back of my head. And the left side of my throat, the glands there, thyroid glands there, begin to be swollen. I started figuring that maybe I got to have an ear infection on the left side. So I put some cotton inside my ears so that the air condition, the wind from the air condition wouldn't blow into my ears and make it even worse. So my head still hurting me. So I lay down on the bed last night. I said, well, I said, man, I keep getting this pain. It's so bad. So then begin to God drop this word in me about Moses. And I said, wow. He says, my word is sufficient. So I begin to speak the word of God over my life. The pain, the hurt that I was feeling. And I fell asleep there. Well, that pain subsides. See, a lot of times we don't use the weapons that we have. He said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't use them. We start looking at the symptoms, whatever's going on in our lives, the condition, the circumstance. We start focusing on those things. And those things put God outside. They put God outside because we are so caught up in the feelings and the circumstance that God can't even get in to help us. He can't even get in to help us. As awesome, as mighty as he is, he's not going to break through. He's not going to break through the stuff that you're doing, that we are doing. We got to call on him. We call on everybody else and everything else before we call on him. I tell you, I woke up this morning without pain. No. And guess God. You remember the lifestyle you were living and how people try to kill you, try to hurt you, do all type of stuff, try to rob you, and still you're still in the land of the living. You remember the last time you was in the hospital and the doctor was giving you a bad report, that you're still here alive. You have survived what the doctor said you would not have made. You wouldn't have made it through. But you can't draw from that. You second guess God. Look at Moses. Oh, God delivered him. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and God set him out. Bring him out of Egypt and put him in Midian. And he came back to Zippor, the Midianite priest's daughter. And now God going to allow the Pharaoh to die. And another Pharaoh in position, and God can take him back into Egypt. He's not seeing all this. And look what's going on. He jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it. And it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. See, God knew that the serpent that he created, God did that thing. God transformed that staff into that piece of stick into a serpent. But God knows that the stick now is a live serpent. And if Moses is foolish enough to hold it, grab the serpent by the head, he's going to get back. God told him to grab it by the tail. See, God knows everything. Grab it by the tail, and it became a stick again, a staff. Perform the sign, he told Moses. Perform this sign. The Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of the ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob really has appeared to you. You know, sometimes all the time, we should trust God to work a miracle through us so that people will believe. A lot of times we want to speak miracle, but we don't believe that the miracle can happen. We speak in America like we're speaking America without. That's why America's going to happen. We speak it. This is the word of God. What he told me this morning, I put this thing in computer last night. This morning, early when I got. And, you know, I didn't press it to post. And it wasn't there. When I go to open the system, it said I had no show program for today. I said, why? I typed it all out. So I go back and search the net. It's nowhere in there. It's not in the clouds. It's nowhere. So I had to type it all over again. Why? She said, you got to put it. I said, yes, I got enough time. I'm fast enough. God going to give me time. And I put. And this is what the Lord said. He said that my word is trustworthy. This is what he told me this morning. He said, my word is trustworthy. My word is dependable. My word is powerful. My word is truth. My word is sufficient. He said, my word is encouraging. My word is loving. I said, wow. Wow. God dropped those seven words in my spirit this morning. Sometimes we just got to go back and allow God to speak to us. And whatever situation that we are dealing with, we got to stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to work it out on our own. Go and talk to God. Say, God, show me what I need to do. Lead me in this thing that I'm working on right now. Talk to him. Moses. He's talking to Moses. Say, if you do this thing, they're going to believe that. The God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because they believe in Abraham. They believe in Isaac. They believe in Jacob. And you got to do something that would cause them to think of these ancestors. Now God says, then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak, inside your bosom. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease, leprosy. Hallelujah. Right then, Moses became extremely afraid. Leprosy, the skin became to decay. Look and smell. Have a smell on it. Hallelujah. Nobody wanted to be by you, so they used to put the people that had leprosy in an outer camp. Like back in which country that was? Cuba. They had a special place, a camp, for everyone that had AIDS when AIDS first came out. The Cuban president had a special place, a city that all the people that had AIDS would have to be in that place. They were well taken care of. Well, this was the same way with leprosy in the Bible, in this time with Moses. So when Moses took his hand out, he realized that his hand had this disease, this leprosy. God is showing him something. Now, God said to Moses, he said, put your hand back in your cloak, in your bosom, the Lord said. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he looked, when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. God is showing Moses, what can I do? I can do anything. If anything too hard for me, Moses, I can do it. The God we serve. He's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley. He's the early morning star. He's the one who sits high and looks low. He's the one who eyes go to and fro throughout the earth. He sees all, knows all, and can do all. We put God in a box when things are happening. Regardless if it's financial, if it's physical or spiritual, we put him in a box. We don't believe that the same God who saved us is able to keep us. We don't believe that the same God who saved us and keeping us is able to heal us. We don't believe that. We go through a whole lot of rigmarole trying to figure out how it's going to work. And all God wants us to do, all God wants us to do and need us to do is trust him. That's all he do. All he wants us to do is depend on him. Rely on him because he's dependable. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second. And if they don't believe you are listening to you even after these two signs, then they then take some water from the river Nile and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. Doctor, I'm going to show you. I am going to show you miraculous signs that they're going to know it's only coming from the God of your understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember many, many years ago, I had an encounter with God in Washington, D.C. I didn't know at the time. I was going to purchase cocaine for a young girl, young lady. She was sitting in her Nissan high-body truck while I went up the little hill to the guy, the young man, African-American. And if any of you all know about crack, you will know that a lot of the dealers out there had, the young man with, that didn't have crack would have some soap cut in little blocks, look exactly like crack. And they would try to push it on you. If you didn't take it, they would try to kill you because they want your money. They want your money. So what I recognized, it was so, I said, I can't take that. Because if I take this back to the girl, the lady I'm getting it for, she's going to think I beat her. You know, that was the word they used in the street. I beat her for her money. Well, when I didn't give him the money, I said, man, take this stuff. And I turned away. I hear he rocked the gun. And I could hear him with a magazine. Put one, go up in the breach. And I started a little bit of, a little, not running, you know, just jogging a little bit from him. And I hear, boom, 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 5 shots. And the girl took off. She didn't even wait for me to get to her car. She took off and leave me. And went back to Virginia. Tell the people that I was there. Tell her father, because her father and her brother and other people in the basement was waiting for us to get back there with the cocaine so they could smoke. She leave me. I was trying to get the coke for her. And that time, after now, I know now. I didn't know then, but I know now that God was protecting me. God was showing me that he was a miracle-working God, that he could save me when I couldn't save myself. When nobody else could save me, he was saving me. And I said, thank you, Lord. Now I say thank you, because now I'm not afraid to go places and do what thus says the Lord, because I know the same God that saved me then will save me now. Same God that saved me then will save me now. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed to tell people that I used to use cocaine. Because now I have, that's part of my testimony. And I can tell anybody, well, every time you talk with this, yeah, the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and you no longer love your life unto death. My life is already in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So he began to talk to Moses. God is talking. He said, I'm showing you stuff, Moses, because I have the power, I have the authority to do for you what you can't do for yourself in the midst of your people. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I am not very good with words. Listen. Moses continually coming with his butt before God, bringing a conjunction before God, like we do God, but God, how am I going to do this? God, you know I'm not a great preacher. When I was in Africa doing a crusade, they put a picture with me over the city there. Me and the other pastors and other people, ministers. And when they got there, they said, look, we in the slums. They said, well, they got from one telephone pole to another telephone pole. I asked the pastor, they said, why do you put my picture up there? I said, because, look, I'm not a preacher. I said, if the preacher don't show up, you're not going to get anything. You hear, if he don't show up, ask the Holy Ghost. And he said, no, we want the people to see the man coming in from America. I said, well, it's not about me. It's about him. Hallelujah, glory to God. And the Holy Spirit came into service and did mighty works. We have to know that it's not us, it's him. Trust God to work through you. Moses pleaded with the Lord. And he began to tell the Lord that he was not eloquent in speech in the King James Version. I'm reading out the NLT. But in the King James Version, he said he wasn't eloquent in speech. Same thing. He said, I never have been. And I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, talking to the Lord, I get tongue-tied. and my words get tangled. He's telling God, like, God don't know. God know that you can't see. God know you can't hear. God know you can't walk. He know everything that's deficiency in your life. He knows everything that is on point in your life and everything that's not on point. And he know that he's the only one that can fix it. Glory to God. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is my healer. And because I know that he is my healer, I can go to him at any time of the day. I don't have to pay no preacher. I don't have to pay no pastor, no bishop, nobody to go to God before me. I go right to him. I go right to him in prayer and ask him for my needs, not my wants. He know I got a lot of wants, but my wants are not important. It's the needs that God take care of. Take them to him. Listen to what he says. This is, oh, my God. Moses constantly questioning. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person mouth? Listen to God. Oh, glory to God. God is so awesome. I like this in the New Living Translation. The King James is a little more subtle. But here, in the New Living Translation, he expounds it. The interpreter, the translator of in this New Living, he makes it a little, oh my God, more exciting. God begins to speak. He says, who makes a person's mouth? A question. Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Jesus, I go, oh my God. Moses now is speechless, God. He's speechless. I would be speechless to hear the supreme being talking to me like this. Oh, God, with such eloquence. I said, Lord Jesus. Oh, now go, he told Moses. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. We find excuse not to follow the leading of God. All of us do. You, me, I, we find excuse not to follow the leading of God. Hallelujah. We let things and people and places distract us, delay us, and if possible kill us from doing what God called us to do. Hallelujah. I asked people, before if Minister Jones was on here, I asked some people, you should be here with me, before they were preaching anywhere, and nobody wanted them to preach. I said, well, listen, God has given us an avenue. It's not for me alone, but for everybody. Train people. Let people come on and sharpen your skills. I had some people to come on here, and then after they got here, they started to get, their skills start getting real sharp. You know, like an old knife, and you start using the grinder and start getting the edge. Now you can cut now. People start calling them to preach. They said, do a revival here. Do this. They had no time. And when I called them to preach, they said, oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm going to come and preach for you. Not preaching for me. You're preaching for God. You're preaching for God's people. We serve God by serving his people. You know that? We honor God by serving his people. And they would send me, wait, the night before, they send me a text. Don't even call me. Oh, Pastor, I can't preach tomorrow. I can't do this. Because they got to go to something in the morning with somebody doing something that don't pertain to grow for their soul. Not a doctor's appointment. Not a job interview. Not doing something that don't make sense. I start calling. So, gotta have an excuse. It's not accepted by God. God's not accepting no excuses. See, he got very upset with Moses. God got upset. And another version said God got angry with Moses. Because God know I'm backing you. Your victory is in me, not in yourself. I'm the one that give you victory. I'm the one that shed the light on your darkened path so that you can walk in the light. I'm the one that does this. I'm the one that hold back your enemies when your enemies are setting traps for you. I'm the one that caused your enemies to fall into their own traps. I am the one. I'm the one that blocked the arrows that are shoot at you in the nighttime that you can't see. I'm the one that blocked them. Hallelujah. The pestilence that comes to you, I'm the one that caused them to go back to the senders. I'm the one. You got to understand this God that we're talking about. Glory to God. Moses is questioning the Lord. Oh, his speech. He pleaded again. Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. God knows. God said, I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. God sees everything. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him, God said to Moses, and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what you do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. See, God is releasing their power and the authority to Moses. He said, Moses, you will stand in the place of God for him, for Aaron, telling him what to say. Do you know that God wants you and I, want us to stand in the place of authority for him, to tell the people what to do? But we are seeking a lot, or not us, but I got to say this to some people out there that are doing it. There's a lot of folk that are seeking other mediums to get authority and get instruction instead of seeking God. God wants to give us the instruction. He wants us to stand. He wants you and I want us to stand as his ambassadors, standing in truth, standing in the spirit, walking in righteousness, living holy. Because God can't use an unholy vessel. Not that he can't, but he will not use an unholy vessel. That's why he said, be holy for I'm holy. He said, and take your shepherd's staff with you, Moses, and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. See, God gave Moses practice sessions. He took Moses through training of what to do. People want to preach and teach, but don't want God to train them. They don't want God. They don't want to allow God to train them. They don't want to spend time so God can instruct them what to say and what not to say. Listen to what he says. Moses returned to Egypt. So Moses went back home to Jethro, his father-in-law. Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt, Moses said, talking to God. I don't even know if they are still alive. Go in peace. Jethro replied, before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, return to Egypt. For all those who wanted to kill you have died. See, God knows all things. All things. That's why we got to check with him first. For you check with your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, your children, your brothers and sisters, uncle, aunt, your cousin, check with God first. You don't feel good this morning. You call your wife, honey, I don't feel too good this morning. What should I do? No, the first thing you should do is drop down on your knees and say, Lord, I don't feel good this morning. But I know you know what I'm dealing with, what my body's facing right now. And Lord, I put it in your hands because I'm your vessel. And I need to fix whatever is broken, whatever is not functioning right in my body. Give it to him right away. We call it Brother Sam, Brother John, Bishop this body, Apostle this body, Evangelist this body. We call everybody first. There's nothing wrong with talking to your brothers and sisters, but call God first. Call him first. Call him first. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the restorer. When you don't feel good and you want to mess up somebody, say, Lord, calm my spirit. My spirit is out of control, and I want to hurt somebody today, Lord. I need you to fix my spirit because this flesh is acting up. It's acting crazy. All of us from time to time get some. Don't tell you that you don't. You're not that holy. All of us do. Even Moses got crazy. And he was right there with God. Seeing the fire burning. Seeing God in the midst. Hallelujah. God put his hand over Moses and covered Moses while he passed. And Moses got mad. Got upset. Talked to David face to face. And David got mad. Killed somebody. Raped somebody. All this stuff. We all go off from time to time. That's why we got examples in the Bible. We can call on God. God will fix it for you. God will fix it. Moses is constantly questioning God. These things here is not to make Moses look bad. It's not in the book to make Moses look bad. But these are here in they are penned in this Bible for our example. Moses never seen God before. He never had an encounter with God before. So he's questioning God. But now we see that God speaks to his children. We can trust God now to say, well, look, I'm dealing with such and such a thing. I've got this thing before me, Lord. I can take it to God. Because God showed Moses. It's there for us. Like God spoke to Moses, he speaks to us. He speaks to our spirit, man. Hallelujah. Sometimes people got to go through accidents and stuff before they start believing God. So Moses took his wife and his sons and put them on a donkey and headed back to the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt, in his hand, he carried the staff of God. What are you carrying in your hand today? You may not have a stick cut from a oak tree or something, but you have the word of God in your hand. You have the word of God in your belly. Use it. Use it like you use a star. Hallelujah. We're talking everything else. Everything else we're talking to. We spend more time gossiping. And the Bible says he despised a day of tear bear. We spend more time gossiping than we spend time sharing the word of God. People are going down to the river trying to connect with the Kundalini spirit, trying to get caught up with the Illuminati, want to get up with the witch doctor, the warlocks, and all this stuff they want to come. Let me get a Ouija board. If I get a Ouija board, I would know what to do. Let me get an 8-ball. You know the 8-ball talk to you? Not the one that you play on the pool table. You know, the black one, like a neon one that they shake and give you answers. All that's witchcraft. Tarot cards, palm readings, and these preachers are doing this stuff. Going to these places looking for power when power comes from God. Hallelujah. Their true authority comes from God. True power comes from God. And that's what we should be talking about. Lord, I don't want power just for people to see me. I don't want authority so people call me apostle. You call me anything you want to. One thing don't call me a fool because I'm no fool. I'm the son of God. I am his son. We are his children. Listen to what he said. Man, this is so powerful. I want to go to chapter 4 and chapter 5. Let me see if I got that. Put some of the chapter 5 and chapter 6. But look. I love the whole scroll. I mean, I love the whole roll. When I like to eat this thing here, man, this thing just tore me up. Ooh, just bubble inside my spirit. The Lord told Moses, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all these miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go. See, God is not keeping Moses in darkness. I want you to understand that God is not keeping you in darkness. Something may not be happening for you that you've been praying for right now. But they're going to happen. They're going to only happen, as we read earlier in chapter 1, in the process of time. This is how God does things. The process is timing in God's time, not your time or my time or your apostle time or your bishop time or the evangelist time. In God's time is when it's going to happen. I've been praying for God for so long on this thing. It don't seem like it's happening. God is keeping you, though. God is keeping you. You know how I'm sleeping on Eiffel Bridge? You've been praying for that big house and two-car garage, three-car garage. You got just a one-little apartment. Let a one-bedroom apartment, a picture seat. God's still keeping you. You're not in the street. You're not in the elements. Praise the way you are. There you can get where you need to be or want to be and praise him even more. You want a new car. You got a car that gets you from point A to point Z. Praise the way that old car you got. Keep the old car clean. Hallelujah. God give you a little old car. You say, I want a new car, man. I want a 2022 or 2021. If I don't see it, I don't understand. But you got the car full of all types of McDonald's and Kentucky bags and Popeye bags and all of this stuff, trash all over the car. You think God will give you a new car? You don't take care of the house, you got trash all over the house. God ain't going to give you a new house. Take care of the house, clean the house, keep the house clean, keep the car clean. It's God's car, God's house that he loaned you. Because you can't take it here from here when you leave. Keep it clean. I don't want to let anyone. I said, why you got trash all over the car? I said, I don't mean to criticize. This is your car. But if you want God to get a new car, you're going to have to start taking care of this car. I said, you got to start taking care of this car. And the mirror dropping off. The mirror dropping off. You got the mirror taped up and duct tape and all kinds of stuff. So she goes out to get for a car. Can't get no credit messed up. She comes and says, I told my wife, I said, honey, I got to go to help this woman. She needs to get a car. I told my wife, she said, okay. So I go over there, and the salesman giving her all kind of problems. But you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got the power. It's in you. So the man come up there, the salesman come up there, he giving all kind of problems. He cutting up. Oh, you're going to have this. I said, no, I don't believe she's going to have that. I told him straight there, I said, look, I know that you can bring these numbers down and you can make it out for her to get a car, a new car, not a used car. I told him right there. It's in your mouth. The power of death and life is in your mouth. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are we speaking? Oh, I don't know if I can get that. I don't know if I'm able to do that. We're speaking negativity over all the circumstances that God says is available to you. I don't know. The doctor says that I got this lump on my breast. I don't know what I'm going to do. I ain't got the money to get the surgery, all this kind of stuff. You don't need the money to get the surgery. You got a surgeon that waiting to do surgery on you. His name is Jehovah Rapha, King Jesus. Oh, what a call. Hey, Moses. Moses, God told Moses, go back to Pharaoh. Go back to Pharaoh. That's what he said. And perform all, not some. That's what God's talking to Moses. He said, and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. God empower us to do miracles. But you know what? We say, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for this brother. But you don't really believe what you're saying. You don't really believe what you're saying. God said, I have already empowered you to perform miracles. I have given you the power and authority to perform signs and wonders. He didn't say that signs and wonders was going to, you were going to find them, you're going to look for them. He said, signs and wonders shall follow you. Wherever you go, they're behind you looking for you. You go and look at a sign. Let me go to this revival over here. I got to go to a convocation. I just want to get a word. I just want to get a sign. Man, the word is in your body. The signs are with you. God told Moses, man, this is so powerful. And I was telling this. He said, but I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go. Then you will tell him, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn. You got to let him know that these people belong to God. These are not mine. I'm God's servant, but they're not my people. This is my church. This is me and my wife's church. We built this church from scratch. We ain't had nothing when we started this church. Forrest, God's not coming back for your church. He's coming back for his church with no spouse and no blemish and no women. You understand? And we get up, and so we get the building, we say, we push our chest up and walk, oh, this is my
Amen.
Church.
Yes,
these are my people. These are my people. They're not your people. Did you went to Calvary? Did you get pierced? Did you get crippled? Were you nailed? Were you whipped? Huh? Man, stop saying that stuff. That way you don't have no power in the house because it's your house. But when the house becomes Jesus' house again, when it becomes the house of the living God again, you'll begin to see power, you'll begin to see miracles, you'll begin to see signs. We're looking for power from the Illuminati. Kundalini Spirit. Listen what he says. I command you, God talking, let Tell Sarah, you got to tell Sarah to come see you. You got to speak with authority. You got to speak as a commander, as an ambassador. You go on the talking before the devil's people and you're weak. You don't have no authority in your voice. They look at you, but I want you to do this for me. I need you to do it. No! You got to go and say, I understand that you're going to do this for me right now. Because you have power behind what you're saying. God is backing you. He told Moses, I'm going to be with you and Aaron. You're not going to fail by yourself. He said, I'm going to be right there. Oh, my God, you all got to get this thing. You got to get this. I bet you got to get this. Hallelujah. Listen what he says. The way he told me, God make you laugh sometimes because God got a funny bone like me this. I got this morning. I told I prayed last night, and I was telling my wife about the pain I had in the back of my head. You know, when people get tumors in the brain, a lot of times the head begin to swell. And I had this bad pain on the left side. It was so bad. Oh, Lord. And I got this morning. But I just got the realization that I only asked her to tell me what God is doing. I could feel it, but I want her to tell me. I said, honey, do you see any buzzing on the back of my head, like my head is swelling on the back? She said, no, your head is just the same way it was. It's smooth and everything. I said, well, praise God. See, a lot of times the enemy, when you pray for healing for your body or for somebody, the enemy will bring some doubt to make you doubt that things are really happening as God said he would do for you. God told Moses, he said, look, I command you that this is what you got to tell Sarah. Then you would tell him, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. I command you, let my son go so he can worship me. But since you have refused, I will now kill you. I will now kill your firstborn son. On the way to Egypt, at a place where Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted him and was about to kill him. Did you hear that? Listen to this stuff. This is God confronting Moses. The Lord confronted Moses and was about to kill him because Moses doubted in God. He has a problem with what God is saying. Every time he keeps saying, but how is this going to happen? But what do I got to do? How can I be sure that the people are going to listen to me? I don't believe it. I mean, he having doubt. But Moses was the poet, took his flint knife and circumcised her son. She touched his feet with the foreskin and said, now you are a bridegroom of blood to me. She makes now a sacrifice. The blood, the power is in the blood. God see that blood, and that blood is falling back death. It's falling back the spirit of death that wanted to kill Moses. Do you hear that? It's in the book right there. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the book. You got a prophetic eye. You got a spiritual eye, a spiritual ear. You can hear. Read it for yourself. Exodus chapter 4. I'm in the NLT. Okay? Verse 26. When she said a bridegroom of blood, she was referring to the circumcision. After that, the Lord left him alone. The blood! You wonder why these satanic people are so anxious to kill the babies. Because they know the power is in the blood. Hallelujah. That baby in the womb has the power of God in that baby. That baby's innocent. No sin on that baby. Hallelujah. They enter into the world of sin, but in the womb there's no sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why the devil want to kill them babies. Kill them. Hallelujah. And these folk are coming up with all kinds of stuff, trying to control one race, trying to control the race of the blacks. One woman says, she says, I wish I'd had a baby when I was young. Now I'm too old, I can't have a baby. How many abortions she had? Because the government says, no, no, just go on and get your degree. If you get pregnant, we have a clinic here. You can disperse to that baby. Now you are up in your 60s, you can't get pregnant. Your womb is all messed up. They've been pulling this stuff out of your womb so many times they torque your womb, mess your womb. Eggs don't know where to go. I'm telling you something, the devil is some mess, but these folk want to sit around here and play with the devil. And now they get said they're messing up the preacher's car, they're messing up the preacher's houses, they're messing up the house of the Lord. All this stuff, these wicked people. But guess what? The Lord told me that there's an earthquake coming. Just like he said there in Matthew chapter 24, there's an earthquake coming to America, going to shake America, because America has become, oh God, has become the mouthpiece for the devil. Hallelujah. All these people that's in authority, even the preachers now, compromising with the word of God. I'm telling you something. Glory to God. Listen to what he says. I'm not going to get to chapter 4 today, but that's right. I'll come back to chapter 4 and 6. I mean, chapter 5 and 6. Glory to God. I hear the Lord speaking. He says, glory to God. He lead Moses. Now the Lord has said to Aaron, go out into the wilderness to meet Moses. So Aaron went and met Moses at the mountain of God. And he embraced Moses. That's a place of worship. See, that was Moses. How to encounter with God. He said, go and meet him there. That's where Moses is going to be. He's going to be the place where he met God before. And he said, Aaron, I want you to go out in the wilderness to meet Moses at the mountain of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moses then told Aaron everything the Lord had commanded him to say. And he said, and he told him about the miraculous things the Lord had commanded him to perform. Then Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and called all the elders of Israel together. See, you need the people of God. You need to get the prayer warriors together. You need the prayer warriors. Hallelujah. We're not praying enough. We're not spending enough time in God's presence. Everybody want to come and hear a word from the God, but no, nobody wants to get together to pray. Everybody's like the prophet, I want you to pray. Father, Master, I want you to pray. Everybody wants to get a word from the prophet, the prophetess, the advisor, the teacher, but nobody want to pray. And prayer is what moved God's heart. It moved the heart of God. When the people come together as one and begin to intercede, God, I tell you, God moves. Listen to what he said. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Oh, God. Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and called all the elders of Israel together. And Aaron told everything the Lord had told. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had told Moses. And Moses performed the miraculous signs as they watched. Then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their miseries. They bowed down and worshiped. See, a lot of times all we're doing is talking this stuff, this yin-yang stuff to people. Oh, God, oh, how God wants you to have a new car, and God wants you to have a new house, and God see your husband doing this and your wife doing that, and they're telling those people about living holy and getting their life in order because time is drawing near. God is coming back for his church with those spots, with those blemishes. They're not telling the people that they got to stop fornicating. They got to stop lying and stop gossiping. Stop cussing. Start getting drunk. Stop acting a fool. My God. Lord, go. Stop killing one another. You got to stop the people. Stop living in this new way of living. Where men with men and women with women. Oh, God, you got to stop. Take your children. They got to stop. Want to go to the place to commit abortion that is against the law of God. You got to tell them that you get an agreement with your granddaughter, your grandson, and all them. So one man, somebody was telling me yesterday, I think it's here on a blog talk, which somehow man wanted to go, young man wants to go and get a vasectomy or what do you call it, something to tie up his testicles or something so that he wouldn't have an erection and he wouldn't be able to release any sperm into a woman to get her pregnant. All of this foolishness because he didn't want her to go to have an abortion, so he'd go play the part. So now and somebody said that was so good. Somebody said, well, so suppose, see what Mother Grant said that. So suppose he get to another, meet a woman, they don't Their relationship don't work. And he gets to make a new one that wants to have children. He can't get no children. Foolishness, that's not works of the devil. That's all the works of the devil. We got to come together, and we got to tell our children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When it's time for you to have babies, but get married, though. Get married. Don't have children out of wedlock. Don't have sex and all that stuff because your body is talking. How to put your body under subjection. Hallelujah, glory to God. You can do it if you ask God. You say, well, my body is still talking, Grandpa. Grandma, my body is still talking, honey. Brother, my body. No, talk to God. Say, God, help me to control this urge in my body, this desire in my body to want to have sex. I don't want to get pregnant. And Lord, I want to take away this desire from me. And when the desire, time is right, give me back the desire. God would do it. He did it for me. When I was running the streets and shacking up and coming to adultery, I couldn't stop. I was a dope addict. And then when I get to know Christ, my body still want to act the same way like I wasn't saved. And I had to tell God, I said, God, take away this desire to want to sleep with another woman besides my wife. I said, take it away. And the same day that God took it away, the woman called me tonight. And she said, babe, I want to be with you. I just feel I need to be with you. And I went to pick her up. And she got in and had a Lincoln Navigator, which had a big bed where you lay on the back seat. It's a queen-size bed. And when she got up in that bed, and she started unstripping, undressing, all that kind of stuff, touching me and all that kind of stuff. And I want to tell you this, because this is part of my testimony, too. For anyone that wants God to keep you celibate, you can be. Hallelujah. And I was with that woman laying up on the bed in the Navigator. And I wasn't kissing on her, man, but she was touching on me. She said, what's wrong with you? But I couldn't tell her. And I said, I just don't have the desire. God had taken away the desire. Hallelujah. Took it completely away. Because I asked him to. Don't tell me God won't do it. If you want God, God will do the stuff that is holy. He's not going to do no nasty stuff for you. But God, you want to walk holy before God. God said, take away that desire to craving to want to drink alcohol. God, take away that craving to want to shoot methamphetamine, drink all type of stuff and smoke cocaine. God will take away. You try to get high, you can't get high. You'll give it up. May God take away cocaine from me. I tried to get high. He told me I couldn't get high anymore. And I still went to get high. But I couldn't get high because God took it away. I'm talking about the God that we serve. He's faithful. And he's just. He would honor his word. He said, you have not because you ask not. When you ask me. Ask God for something that's righteous. God, help me to walk this walk, Lord. Help me to treat my brother and sister the way I need to be treated, Lord. Lord, give me the heart of compassion, Lord. Lord, let me to have kindness and love for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I don't care what color, what class, what country they come from, Lord. Let me love them the way you love me, Lord. Talk to God and see if God will do it for you. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And Lord, we pray that we have delivered in the spirit that you have given us to deliver them. Lord, you have got me so hot on this word. I thank you, Father, for giving it to me on last night, letting us know that we don't have to keep questioning you. All we need to do is trust you, depend on you, rely on you, because only you alone is trustworthy. Only you alone is faithful. Oh, Father, we just bless your name. Lord, we ask you to touch the line, touch the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, bring back Apostle Washington. Bring her back from the doctor today with a good report, oh God. Bring her back with a good report. And Lord, continue to strengthen Bishop Washington, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. Lord, we just honor you, Father. We honor you for how you healed Mother Grant, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for keeping the prophetess. She should come on this week, our prophetess, our Kershie. She's coming on, my sister, over there in Tennessee. We love the woman of God. We love her. We love her son, Minister Jones. He ministered one day for us. He'll come back sometime when he gets some time. We ask God to keep him safe on the highway. And I was watching the Trucker's Life that on YouTube. They got some real fancy trucks with nice sleepers. I was watching them. I was thinking about Bishop. I was thinking about Minister Jones, man. This man had a truck was $300,000+, man. And I said, wow. He had bathroom and everything in his truck, man. Television, everything he had in his sleeper. He had big two beds in the sleeper, up top bed and a down bottom bed. I tell you, I said, God, I said, this is like a house. He said, man, me and my wife, he said, we stay on the road. He said, so we got everything we needed. We got microwave, we got stove. He said, we got a bathroom. He said, look in there, got shower, got toilet. He got sink. I said, my God. He said, this is our house there. He said, it's a little longer because he had to make the sleep a little bigger. He said, took us some time. He said, me and my wife, we did all this work. And I was thinking about my Minister Jones, how God keep him safe on the highway. We just thank God for you all. And we don't know. Mother Grant is on the line, I think. Mother Grant, come on in and read, and then we'll open the line for anyone that wants to respond. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Good morning to everybody. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is a good God. A good God.
Amen.
I'm thanking
Amen.
Him. Amen, Deacon. I'm thanking him. I had a water leak here. My toilet was leaking for a while, Lord. I didn't realize it was due. I'd see the water bill come $485. So I say, Lord, what is this? I say, Lord, now I got to start calling around begging. But anyway, I happened to call the city, see if they just help with the water bill. So one lady called me back and said, she say, you got it fixed? I say, yes. And she said, well, how much you pay? I said, I didn't pay anything because the senior program that I just called, I say they came out and fixed it. So she said, well, I will email you some paperwork so you fill that out and bring it in. You get something from them where they say they fix it. I say, okay, no. I say, I don't like deal with email because the city hall is right here not far from me. I say, I'll pick up the paperwork and fill it out, and I call the company who'd fix it. They senior, they work for seniors, a senior program, and I call her, and she say, I know what you're talking about. She say, I'll have the paperwork for you. So I say, thank you, Jesus. I'll pick up the paperwork from her. I will get that. Then she says, ready. Then I got to fill out the city on and take it in. She said, we give you credit for it as long as you fix it. I say, thank you, Jesus, because I keep lying. I say, $485? Oh, my God. I say, I ain't no way I can pay that. But thank you, Lord. There's help out there for you. You just got to seek. Got to ask. So thank you, Jesus. My reading is say protection. God, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beasts of the earth. Job 5:22. You will be sure. You will be sure because there is hope. You will look above you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Job 11:18-19. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalms 121:7-8. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Proverbs 3:24. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? 1 Peter 3:13. Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Deuteronomy 33:12. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalms 112:7. If you make the Most High your dwelling ever, the Lord who is your refuge, then no harm will befall in you. No disaster will come near your tent. Psalms 91, 9 and 10. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not weep over you. When you walk through the fire, thank you, Jesus, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 43:1-2. There will no longer be blush by the nation, nor will the wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Ezekiel 34:28. But whosoever listen to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs 1:33. I will lie down and sleep in peace for a long, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety. Psalms 4:8. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 27:1. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mother Grant. Thank you for that word. You just got to trust him, like we were saying this morning. You got to trust him because he's trustworthy. And
amen.
You can depend on him. You can depend
yes,
on
can.
Him. He'll never leave you, and he will
never
forsake you. You know, you can depend on him. I mean, God says something, you can take it to the bank. You know,
amen.
It's for real. It's going to come to pass. Not on your time or my time, but on his time. He's not, he's never late. He's never late. He's an on-time God, you know. So that's what God is saying to us today. We got to trust him. Depend on him, you know. God ain't going to leave you. You know, he's not going to leave you. And you look out and you say, well, I'm going to do this. Oh, my Lord, I'm going to do this. God said, just trust me. I'm going to make a way for you.
Yeah.
I tell you, God did something for me this week, and I shared it yesterday. Just bless me. Just bless me. You know, and you know, you're not looking, you're just doing, because you operating in the realm of righteousness, holiness. And God said, because you operate in that realm, he said, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you for operating in that realm, you know. Sometimes we don't want to go there, but you operate in the realm of holiness and righteousness. God going to cause people to bless you. He's going to cause them to bless you. You don't have to worry about it. What you got to do is you got to touch the hem of his garment. You know, you got to touch the hem of his garment when it looks difficult. See? See the thing, I'm going to give up and I'm going, I said, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. And he shows up in the midst of a circumstance. And
great.
Fix what nobody can fix. That's what he did. So, Father, we just thank you and thank you for Mother Grant coming on in and reading the word. And we ask that if there's somebody, we never really like to open a line fully until we give somebody the opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we leave here today, we want to make sure that we have given somebody that opportunity. Not a long prayer today. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says that God send not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He didn't come pointing fingers at nobody. He come to save. Seek and to save that which is lost. So today, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's in our mouth. We have to confess. We have to believe in our heart. Hallelujah. And we have to repent of our sin. We can't come to God and say, well, I'm going to come in here and get saved, and I'm still going to hold on to my sin. We got to repent of our sin, and we got to turn away from that sinful lifestyle. And we got to turn to the life that God has created for us from before the foundation of the world. Peter tell them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And he said they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, the moment you give your life to Christ, you start getting blessed. You start getting blessed. God bless you with the Holy Ghost. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. Give it to you. The moment, so you can't lose. You can't lose. Hallelujah. From the time I accept Christ and I went down that water, I got baptized, I ran off, man, I was crying, I was laughing, I was singing, I was doing everything at the same time. I was so happy. And one day I said, Lord, why, if I know it was so good, I want to spend all that money I spent, but I had to go through all that I wanted to go through because I was hard-headed. All of us, we spend a lot of money, we waste a lot of time. You say, well, if I knew, I wouldn't waste all that time. No, it was hard-headed. But God waited patiently, because he's a patient God. He waited patiently till we did all that we can do, what we thought we were digging by to do, and then when we give up and surrender, God said, I was waiting here all the time for you, daughter. I was waiting here all the time for you, son, to receive you as my child. And God extends his hand. If you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, he's doing the same thing for you today. His hands are outstretched. He doesn't care. Doesn't matter what your sin was or is, he got outstretched hands for you today. Just like his hands was outstretched for me when I was doing what I was doing. And others on this line that were doing what they were doing. God's hands are always outstretched for the sinner man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know people say, God don't hear no sinner man. Well, I say, well, how you got saved? How do you got saved? See? Because you take it out of context. He got to hear a sinner man in order to save him. You got to cry out to him. And God got to hear you, receive your cry, like when Israel was crying out in Egypt, like we talked about. He told Moses, I heard the cry, and I see the oppression of the taskmasters, and I come down to take care of it. God hears you when you call up to him. You're the sinner man calling out, and you're telling God that you acknowledge your sin before him. Hallelujah. Your sin is always before you, before God. And you want God to set you free from that life of sin. You're acknowledging that. That's what you're doing. You're confessing, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I don't want to sin no more. I don't want to live the life just like this anymore. I know that you are the only one that can heal because deliver me. And my sin stands as a wall, a blockage between us. Lord, I ask you to remove this wall for me today that I can come over. I want to cross over. Like, you know, the rich man and Lazarus, there was a gulf between them. They couldn't go. One can go that way and the other one can come that way. Sin stands as a gulf. So we have to repent. Repent to bring down that sin and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Hallelujah. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you're ready to go on with your life to serve God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take this opportunity. The next hour, the next minute is not guaranteed for nobody. Not for you, not for me, not for anybody. If you watch the news, you will see that seeing all of these people are getting killed, getting murdered. The man go to the gas station to get some gas and talk. He would go back home to his wife and his children. He got stabbed to death there at the gas station. The woman is preaching in the house of the Lord in Alabama. She was preaching, and the inmate got away from out of jail and went into the church and into the building and stabbed her to death on the pulpit. Don't tell me. Your life is not guaranteed. Mine is not guaranteed. But if you're saved and sanctified and washed in the blood of Jesus, at least if you have to leave here by surprise, hallelujah, you'll be present with him, because that's what the word says. So if you don't know Jesus, take this opportunity to receive him today. Take this opportunity to give your life over to him. Give him total control over your life. Hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I've been living my life in sin. But today I heard the word, and I'm convinced that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus, I repent today of my sin. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Today, I am denouncing Satan right now and all of his agents and the world system. I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus, with expectations in my heart, knowing that you are the only one that can save me, that can set me free, can deliver me from this sinful lifestyle that I've been living. I open the door to my heart now, and I'm inviting you, Lord Jesus, to come in. Come into my heart and live on the throne of my heart. Be the king of my life, the director, the keeper. Oh, God, the supply of everything that I need to live a holy life. In Jesus' name. Well, if you just said that, that pray the Lord just give to me. I believe the Holy Spirit just give to me. I don't have any notes on prayer of salvation. And you believe that in your heart, that you have just given your life to Christ Jesus, and you believe what he has done on the cross. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart what God has raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him should not be ashamed. If you believe that he died on the cross, that he was crucified, that he was nailed, that he was pierced, that he was crowned, that he was made a sin for you, you receive the gift of salvation. You just receive it. Now you want to call, start studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, book of Acts, so you can get a gospel understanding of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we preach and teach about every day here on Blog Talk Radio. Study the word. The Bible don't talk about reading. It talk about studying. So you got study means to go over and over and over till it lodges itself in your heart. Hallelujah. I used to wonder when I was much younger how preachers can keep reciting all these scriptures, walking back and forth, don't open the Bible, and they recall those scriptures. And I realized they told me, my preachers, pastor told me, said, man, you got to study the word every day. You got to study the word. He said, you're going to only get what you put in. Only what you put in. So study the word and then call up a pastor, a preacher, teacher, someone that you know, you heard, been living the life, and that will baptize you. And say, you tell them you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because a lot of people are still baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they would become argumentative. Don't argue with nobody over baptism. If they don't want to baptize you in Jesus' name, you say, okay, you would get back in touch with them. Okay? And look for a pastor that will baptize. That is your soul salvation that you are concerned about. Not the pastor, your soul salvation. And then once you find a pastor that will baptize you in Jesus' name, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because you want your enemies to witness this greatest occasion in your life. And once you get baptized, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Because like I always say, everybody's not teaching the gospel. People are preaching prosperity to tell you can have this and have that. And you can have a whole lot of stuff and still end up in hell. You know what I'm saying? You want to know that your lifestyle that you're going to live, you will live again. Because there's a second death. After you die here, that's not it. There's still a second death. If you haven't been living holy, you will experience the second death. Understand what I'm talking about. So you want to get your life in line with God's word and ask God to help you to live the life that pleases him. I thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation and those that will receive at a later date. May God bless all those that heard this word today. This is the word of God, not David Callender, not Nancy Callender, but this is the word of God. And as you see that how God has allowed the word to be penned down, how Moses questioned God and all God had got to the point that he showed Moses miracles, signs he showed him. Allowed Moses in a crash course of of miracles. And Moses still was complaining. But that's not for us to put Moses down. That is for us to see that we can trust God. You know, it's in the book. We can trust God. God said he can do stuff for us. We read it in the word. Bring it back before God. God said you're going to heal us. Okay, God, you said in the word you'll heal me if I call. You're the God that heals, so I'm trusting you for my healing. And depend on it. God bless you all. The line is now open for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open. Glory to God. The line is open. Well, there's a lot of people on the line. Nobody's responding, so we're going to pray and close out because I have done what the sovereign Lord has called me to do today and keep an Apostle Linda Washington in prayer. She's having some tests or check on her heart today, and I pray that she has a great report from the doctor, that they don't find nothing wrong with her heart. Just keep on praying. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. We had released it to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we know, God, that it's not going to return void. That it's going to do exactly what you sent it to do. That there's many in Africa and India and China and Japan and Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, O God, Egypt, Israel, Jerusalem, men in Brazil, men in Denmark, men in Switzerland, O God, men in Amsterdam, Holland, Italy, the Caribbean, oh God, all over Europe, where this word is going through the satellite system, Canada, United States of America. Lord, we know that the word is going to do what it said to do. It's set up to do today that somebody, many going to be convicted, many going to be healed, many going to be delivered, many going to be restored, Lord. Yes. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to your word because we know that your word is powerful. Yes. We know that your word cannot fail, oh God. We put your word in the atmosphere with power and with authority, knowing that you guide your word. You are the guiding point to the word, oh God. You are the light to your word, oh God. And Father, we just thank you right now. We ask you to bless every hearer. And oh God, not let them not don't just be hearers, but let them be, oh God, activators of this word, oh God, doers of the word, oh God. We pray today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray for supernatural deliverance. We're praying for healing. We're praying for restoration, oh God. We're praying, Father God, that you bring this nation of United States of America, bring it to its knees, oh God, that it begin to worship and bow down and praise you, oh God. We ask you that you start, oh God, in your house first. As you said, judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. We ask you, Father God, to start with the leaders, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Oh God, we ask you to start with them, oh God. Let them know that it's not about them, but it's about you, oh God. And that it's, oh God, without holiness, no one can see you, Lord. We pray today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you touch this virus that's in the atmosphere, oh God, the monkey virus. Touch, oh God, the virus, oh God, this virus, oh God, coronavirus, oh God, that's coming back alive, that they're shooting back the stuff in the atmosphere to control population. We ask you, Father God, to touch those who think that they are gods. Oh, God, that you arrest them in the spirit, oh, God. Touch the scientists, oh, God, that are trying to destroy the nations, oh, God, by their skills. God, touch, oh, God, the doctors and nurses, the EMTs. Touch the police officers. Touch the police department. Touch the fire department, the firemen. Oh, God, we have a fireman here fighting for his life. Went into a house to save somebody and got trapped. Lord, he's fighting for his life. We ask, oh, God. Lord God, touch, oh God, the police officer that was shot in Georgia. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, for for your anointing that destroy yokes and remove burdens. Oh, God, rest upon this nation. Start with our nation first. We can pray for all other nations. But you said, oh, God, that the work must begin at home. Oh, God, it must start at home first. Oh, God. So, God, we pray today, Lord God, that you begin to deliver us, restore us, oh God. We pray, God, that today that you meet us at our point of need, Father. We need you more. Oh God, we need you more, and we need this world less, oh God. We pray, Father God, that God, that you, oh God, be our protector, that you be our shield and our buckler, that you be our strong tower, that you be our mighty battle axe, oh God, that you continue to fight for us when we don't know how to fight, God, that you begin to stand up for us when we can't stand. Oh God, we pray, God, that you keep us when we can't keep ourselves. Oh Father, we pray for our evangelist Tawana Anderson, Father, in New Orleans, who, oh God, they had heart surgery and had all foot surgery. And oh God, they're trying to get circulations in his feet, and they think they might have to cut off his toes or something like that. But Lord, we declare and decree, oh God, that you are the healer, that you are the doctor, the one that has the medicine that he needs. You are the surgeon, oh God. And Lord, you don't have to cut anything. You just speak it, Lord. Lord God, show up in the room, God, and let him experience your anointing. Let him experience your presence, oh God, as Moses experienced all the gifts that you allow him to experience, oh God, the miracles and the signs, oh God. We ask you to show up in New Orleans and show up in that hospital. And Lord God, where Mr. Anderson go, oh God, and the doctor come into that room and check his toes and say, no, Mr. Anderson, we don't have to take your toes off anymore. We realize that blood is moving through the veins. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, because the King Jesus, he controls the flow of the blood. Oh God, God, we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we are praying for the teachers' union. Oh God, we are praying for all those that are trying to come against the biblical principles, God. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you move, oh God, move by your spirit. Because you said it's not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. We ask you, God, to move, oh God. Move, God. If you don't move, God, we're going to be stagnated. We need you to move, God. Trouble the water today, Lord God. Trouble the water, the spiritual water today, Lord, that men and women would recognize that the water is trouble, oh God, and that they will get ready to step in, oh God, so they can be transformed. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, for the Holy Ghost to have control, oh God, have control over the president. Have control over the vice president, over the political administration, the Democratic administration. Oh, God, we ask you to touch the Republicans, oh, God. Lord, God, we ask you to touch the Supreme Court Justice Department. Oh, God, the House of Representatives. Lord, we ask you, mighty God. Lord, we ask him today, God, because if we don't ask, oh, God, yeah, you will not move for us, God. We ask you to touch today, Lord God, because we want to see change, oh, God. We want to see a new revival in this nation, oh, God. Start with the house of God and begin to revive the house, oh, God. Let the men of God and the men and women of God begin to stand up for truth, oh, God. Lord, let them not keep focusing on finances, oh God. Let them begin to focus on truth, oh God, on teaching people how to live holy. Go. Let's begin to teach them how to live the way that please you, oh God, to walk the way that please you, God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that Father, that you would move, Lord God. We need to experience the anointing, oh God, that destroy yokes, oh God. We need to experience that anointing that heals, that anointing that delivers, that anointing that restores, God. We ask you to move, Father God. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We are waiting on you to move on our behalf, oh God. Lord God, it is you, Jesus, that we adore. It is you that we seek. We seek your presence, oh God. We seek the anointing, oh God. Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Go through the corridors of our hearts, oh God, and begin to stir up in us, oh God, the things that bring glory to your name, God. We pray, Father God, that you begin to intervene, oh God, intervene in our midst, oh God. We need you, Jesus. We need you like never before, Lord. Our nation is hurting. Our people are hurting, God. We need your presence, Lord. We need you to come, Lord God, and do for us what no one can do for us, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you protect our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Protect our husbands and our wives, oh God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to move in our midst, oh God. We ask you to bring change in our families, oh God, that our neighbors will see, oh God, that we are your servants, that we are the ones that you have chosen before the foundation of the world, oh God, that they begin, oh God, to, oh God, trust what we say and what we do, God, because we are your representatives, oh God. We're not here looking for glory, Lord God, but we're here to glorify you, God, to honor you, oh God, to uphold your name. Yes, Lord, to magnify your name, Lord God. Lord, we ask today in the name of Jesus that you begin to, oh God, protect the airways, the planes, oh God. Protect the planes because they say that something is going to happen. Oh God, we ask you to protect the planes, protect the trains, oh God. Protect, oh God, the cruisers, oh God, those cannibal cruise ships, oh God. We ask you to protect them, oh God. Lord, we ask you, oh God, be on the highways and the byways, Lord. There's so much going on. Lord, there's so much to pray for, Lord. We ask you, oh God, to pray, oh God. Pray for husbands and wives, oh God. We pray today, touch them. Touch husbands and wives. Touch families, oh God. Sons are killing their fathers, and fathers are killing their sons. Mothers are killing their daughters, and daughters are killing their mothers. Lord, what is going on? Lord, I know you know because you sit high. You're the one who sit high. Lord, oh God, your throne is above the earth, and the earth is your footstool, God. So you tap. You know what's going on, Lord. We ask you, oh God, to intervene. We need you to show up and show out, Lord. We ask you to move on our behalf. Move on the causes that we are facing today, Lord God. This destruction ahead of us, oh God, you told us that this perilous time, so Father, we are coming today in the precious name of Jesus, and we are pleading the blood of Jesus over everything and everyone that concerns us today. We ask you, O God, to touch Apostle Stewart, Lord God. We ask you to touch Apostle Joyce Stewart, touch the congregational members, Minister, Elder Taylor. We ask you to touch that man of God. We ask you to touch Minister Jones, Lord God, and oh God, touch the prophetess Kershie, Lord. We ask you to touch Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Tina, oh God, Evangelist Campbell, Lord, touch Minister Andrea, Lord, touch Mother Grant, touch her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Lord, touch everything that concerns her. Lord, we ask you to move by your spirit, God. We need your spirit, man. We need your spirit, man, God. We are nothing without you, Lord. We ask you to move, God. Because your spirit is all that concerns us today and every day, Lord God. It is the fullness of the spirit that caused us to continue to move. We live and move because of you, who you are. Lord, we have our being. Lord, we pray today, Lord Jesus. We pray today, Lord Jesus, that you begin to touch, Lord God. Touch our sons and daughters out there in the streets, oh God. The young people that run away from home, oh God. The strays, oh God. We ask you to touch the pedophiles, oh God. Arrest them, oh God. We pray for those that are coming over the border right now, even that are leaving their homes, oh God, looking for a better life. Because the president said, well, the border is open, come on in. And Lord, we ask you to help, oh God, send help to the border, that all of these drug dealers and all of these old cartels and all of these criminal workers of crime will not enter into our nation. At some point in time, they're going to start to kill their neighbors. They're going to start to kill the people, oh God, because there's a lot of violent people coming in. Lord, we ask you to let the people stand up for truth, oh God, and let us build the border. Let us fill the border and let people come into the nation. We have an open door. We have a true open door that people can come in the right way, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you continue to, oh God, people still, well, they're just looking for a better life, but they can come in the right way. Come in the right way, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you bring peace to our nation, oh God, and let the people begin to live together as one, oh God. Doesn't matter what color, class, or creed. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus. For revival, God, let revival break out in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Let the people begin to experience the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Let them begin to see signs and wonders, oh God. Oh God, begin to follow through the church, oh God. Oh Father, we ask you to clean your altars, oh God. Clean the altars, oh God. Come into the house, God. We invite you to come into the house and clean the altars of our hearts, oh God. Clean the altars of our hearts. Some people, they have the spray down the fiberglass podium or the mahogany podium, but that's not the altar that needs to be cleansed. It's the altar of our hearts, Lord. We ask you to come and clean the altar of our hearts. Oh, God, that the Spirit of God can come and dwell and not just visit. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Father God, as you begin to touch us today, as you begin to touch the people of God today, that a new awakening would come alive in us, oh, God, that we have an awakening in us to help each other unconditionally, loving each other. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus that this critiquing mind, when folk come to just to critique the message, oh God, that you wipe it out of their mind. They say, no, I'm not coming to critique the message. I'm coming to be part of the message, oh God, to add to the message. Lord, let people respond to your word. Respond to your spirit, oh God. Glory to God, so that somebody will hear something. Every one of us have something to offer in the body of Christ. And Father, even as we leave this line now, but never your presence, God, we ask for your grace and your mercy to go with us, oh God. Oh God, keep us together. Keep us knitted and grounded together in the things of God. And Father, we'll continue to give you praise. We'll continue to give you glory. We'll continue to give you all the honor that is so due to your name, because only you and you alone is worthy. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today is somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We just thank God for you all. I really do thank God for you all. You know, I'm glad that you heard this word today that the Lord gave me on last night. And as I said, keep Pastor Linda in prayer. And Bishop James, keep everybody in prayer. But mainly pray. She told me last night she wanted to minister today, she told me, but then she called me talking. She said she had to have some appointment to have them have a look at her heart, you know. But I told her all would be well, because they've been looking at my heart for years. They can't find nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I tell her all would be well. You know, because, you know, when people hear about the heart, people get scared. But God, he is the heart regulator. You know, so I put my heart in his hand, and I put her heart in his hand. So I prayed and let her know that, God, everything's going to be all right. So we get a good report. I will talk to you all tomorrow if the Lord say the same, and we are in the land of the living. Keep safe, stay safe, and keep your head in the book. Keep your head in the book.
Yeah.
In the book of the Lord. Stay in the book. God bless you, Brother Deacon. We love you so much. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
God bless you, Mother Grace. God bless you. God bless you all.